coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Folks, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Wednesday, April 3rd, 2024. And as always, I want to thank you so much for your belief, trust, and tuning in to this program, because there's so many other shows that you could tune into. Certainly better orators than I am. But I appreciate this because I just want to bring you the truth. I want to bring you the information that you can use, in addition to talking about problems. I'm going to talk about solutions. But I think at this point in the timing of everything, I was thinking about this yesterday and early this morning. I think that we are going to have to understand that we are at like no other time in history. Perhaps the closest could be the Revolutionary War. But I think that there's more at stake now because of the global nature of what's going on. And so there's some heavy topics to talk about today. But there are a few things I really want to get into. But I want to mention, though, I got a couple of emails during the night and early this morning about yesterday's show, thanking me for doing yesterday's show in the fashion that I did it. And I want to thank you. And I think there was a comment on Rumble as well. Folks, if you get a chance, go back and listen or watch the show yesterday, because I do connect some dots from the spy balloon to the ship to the many other things, okay, to Biden, the Biden crime family, and the cabal that's really running things. And I think it's important that we understand where we're at. And to paraphrase or a turn of phrase on, you know, Lord, help me to accept things I cannot change. Okay. Help me to accept things that I cannot change. Added to that would be, help me to change the things I cannot accept. Now, if you think about that, help me to accept the things I cannot change. But then again, to turn a phrase to change that, help me to change the things I cannot accept. And that's where we're at today. I firmly believe we are at that point where we must change, be agents of change, the things that we cannot accept. We cannot accept having the Biden regime, Obama crew, the people behind all of that, take our Christian faith and mock us through transgender, trans whatever visibility day. No, I cannot accept that. So help me change that. I cannot accept the assault on our children and grandchildren by the communist left. So we've got to change that. I cannot accept a handful of demonic scumbag globalists telling me what I've got, what I can and can't do in terms of my rights, what I can and cannot say. No one is going to tell me what I can and can't say. I was thinking too. Stick with me on this. You know how, and we're going to talk about this. You know how we have a squatter problem in the U.S.? One of the most frustrating times in my life, I look back.
Our poor toilets. Oh, different squatter.
Did you say what I thought you said?
That's why the ship hit the bridge. There's a ton of toilets on it. We need more toilets.
Oh, my head hurts. Folks, that was Eric the Tech. What can I tell you? That's Eric the Tech.
Better be careful. Producers have been getting fired lately.
Or MIA for some reason. I don't know. Yes. Getting fired or...
No comment.
No comment. I Producer Eric. I'm... Folks, if you know, you know. Okay, that's all I'm going to say about that. If you know, you know. But the problem, for example, of squatting, and I can get through that without, okay. The most frustrating time in my life was when I was dealing with a criminal matter, but the police were telling me, no, this is a civil matter, very personal to me, by the way. And I've talked about this on the show before, and I had some. This was my father-in-law's home, and someone was staying there, and no lease or whatever, and had absolutely no legitimate reason to be staying there. Was invited to spend a little bit of time there, and this is when my son was alive. So he said, "Yeah, you can spend some time here." Because of your home domestic situation, yeah, go ahead and take that room, and then wouldn't leave. Okay, after my son passed, wouldn't leave. All right, so we have today this somewhat the same situation. Oh, and by the way, you call the police, and they say, well, you know, if that person has a toothbrush, as little as a toothbrush in the bathroom. It becomes a civil matter, and there's nothing we can do. But wait a second. I own that house. That person is in there without a lease, illegitimately is in there. And the police say, well, if you would kick her out, we'll have to arrest you. And I said, get ready. I did actually go in when that person was sleeping on the couch, picked her up, and you may not yet. Look, okay, I'm not saying this except to give you a visual of my frustration. Picked her up by the back of the collar, again, sleeping, and by the belt, I had the front door open. The screen door, no, it wasn't open. And I pushed that person through the screen door onto the front side, onto the front walkway. I figured my problems were over. Oh, they were just beginning. Yeah, the police responded, put that person back in the house. Took me to talk with me about my actions. And thankfully, hey, I'm proud to say, why not? A friend who was a judge heard about this, and I made a couple of calls, and the judge made a call, and pretty soon I was free as a bird. Hey, if you can do it, great, right? But see, most people don't have that ability. Most people will have to go through 2 years of headaches and unbelievable. By the way, that's kind of almost what happened to me, except I did something a little bit different after that. And I'm not going to get into that because, just because. But here's the thing. Just like the squatting problem, you might think, what does this have to do with friggin' anything? What's wrong with you? Just like the squatting problem, we have to change the things we cannot accept. And in so doing, I'm telling you, we're going to have to break some eggs in doing it, right? Now, am I saying you're going to have to break the law? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that when the law does not give you justice and you can't change the law, you've got to change the things you cannot accept. And that's whether it's a squatter or something bigger, a lot of things bigger. Because the police are not on your side. And for as much as John Moore talks about this, and God bless him, the sheriff's departments, they don't want to get involved in this crap. And certainly if it pits them against the feds, you show me, with the exception of a handful of sheriffs, you show me a standoff. Again, you got a handful. Maybe. I think you and I, okay, and I'm talking from the heart. And I'm being very open and probably more open than I should be. But you and I are going to have to take matters into our own hands. That for the people on the left who monitor this show and for the FBI, the various police agencies, I am not advocating violence. I'm just saying, we're going to have to take matters into our own hands because we have a weaponized justice, Department of Justice against us. We have really, in a larger sense, police who have been hamstrung or have been changed into this woke community. We have people who are accepting large amounts of money. Well, whatever their price is, we know what they are. We have the IRS that's weaponized. We have various other agencies. So what I guess here's the bottom line. Everything is on the line right now. And I get emails from people who don't like President Trump. Well, okay, then tell me, moron, who in the hell are you going to pick? Biden? RFK? Jill Stein? You going to write yourself in? I'm not saying that Donald Trump's, is a savior. But I'll tell you what, having given the hands that we've been dealt, you have to play the cards, right? So far, unless you want to change the system, unless you want to just toss the table up and whoop on the dealer. That's what this episode is going to be about. Changing things we can't accept. But before I get involved in this, and by the way, on deck with me, my good friend and, of course, a big part of the program, Randy Taylor, rt@hagmanpi.com. Before I get to Randy Taylor, two things. I can't wait to see you folks who sign up for the conference in Wisconsin next week. As much as I just don't like to travel and go do all that, I can't wait to see you folks. And to those up there, make sure we get to talk, buy a cup of coffee, like I said, unless it's all, I think it's sold out. I don't think you can get any more tickets. There might be a couple left, if any. But otherwise, I can't wait to see you. And the second thing is, folks, again, if you're health is important to me, Out of all the things I've tried for a lot of different problems I have, and I've got many, the one product that I found that works the best is NanoSoma. And I've even given this to Lady, the studio dog, who's got Cushing's disease. I'm going to tell you something. I cannot believe. I mean, I've had her on Veteril or Trilostane, whatever you want to call it, for her Cushing's. And she, the biggest thing, panting. Oh, my goodness. Panting. And after a couple of weeks of her ingesting this, it's gone. The panting is gone. The symptoms are gone. And I do have to take her in for a blood test, but I suspect everything I've seen, the blood test is going to come back extremely. And all I will share with you. But even my own maladies, from neuropathy onward, okay, I carry this around with me all the time. And folks, it's not cheap. I'm telling you right now, it ain't cheap. But it works. But you got to stick with it. Some say for every year that you've had a problem, let's say you're a type 2 diabetic, had it for 10 years, for every year, you're going to have to stay with this for 2 to 3 weeks per year. Now, I found that to be with me, the relief came quicker. I'm not going to make any medical statements about this, but just go to HagmanPI.com and click on the link to NanoSoma. But stay with it. Stay with it. Don't expect, overnight. Stay with it. You will thank me later. Guarantee it. Before we get into the heavy stuff, I want to show you this. This was sent to me. I'm not going to say who sent this to me. Unless he says, yeah, you can. But I want to show you this. Folks, again, the reason I'm going to play this video, heavy show. So let's have a little bit of humor up front. This is video one. Go to HagmanPI.com in the program description notes. You can see all of the all the different links, the episode sources and such. This is a hospital CEO versus a tax man. I think that's how it's roughly titled. But this is rather humorous, especially when we have, 87,000 tax weaponized IRS against us. This is fantastic. I don't care who you are. This is funny. But you've got to watch it all the way through. It's a minute, 20 seconds. It's funny as heck. Cut one.
At the end of the tax year, the IRS office sent an inspector to audit the books of a local hospital. While the IRS agent was checking the books, he turned to the CFO of the hospital and said, "Notice you buy a lot of bandages. What do you do with the end of the roll when there's too little left to be of any use?" "Good question," noted the CFO. "We save them up and send them back to the bandage company, and every now and then they send us a free box of bandages." "Oh," replied the auditor, somewhat disappointed that his unusual question had a practical answer, but on he went in his obnoxious way. "What about all these plaster purchases? What do you do with what's left over after setting a cast on a patient?" Yes, replied the CFO, realizing that the inspector was trying to trap him with an unanswerable question. "We save it and send it back to the manufacturer. And every now and then, they send us a free package of plaster." "I'll see," replied the auditor, thinking hard about how he could fluster the know-it-all CFO. "Well," he went on, "what do you do with all the leftover foreskins from the circumcisions you perform?" "Here, too, we do not waste," answered the CFO. "What we do is save all the little foreskins and send them to the IRS office. And about once a year, they send us a complete dick."
I don't care who you are. That's funny. Eric the Tech, what do you think?
Very good.
I'm going to tell you right now, if I told you who sent me that, you wouldn't believe it. But anyway, With me, Randy Taylor, RT@HagmanPI.com. Randy, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm sorry about your squatter. If I knew about the squatter, I would have recommended that you called Taylor's Rapid Renewal Services. We would have had him out of there one night, sir, because in Erie, Pennsylvania, it do get dark out there.
You know, we've got two videos on deck.
Or you can call Roto-Rooter.
There you go.
Yeah, and you know, I there are things you can do, and I find, and folks, I am dead serious about this. Okay,
yeah, you pick people up and you move them.
Do you remember when I did that?
Yeah. It's a civil matter. Just
it's
do
a civil
it.
Civil matter.
Yeah. You ever look at a double barreled shotgun? You know that little space right there between the two barrels? That fits right here.
Well, you know, I've got to say this, okay? I don't like to. I like to do things that keep people thinking.
It also fits in other holes.
Oh, yeah.
Taint. The word taint.
You tainted mind. My shotgun.
No, it taint never. I won't get into that. But I found that, you know, right about dusk, when you begin digging a hole in the backyard, okay, by yourself, and the neighbors see you doing that, they get nervous. Mm. And people inside, they get nervous. But I digress. Okay. Randy Taylor, we've got a situation right now where we're looking at a history-changing election, I believe, in 2024. Yeah. I don't. Yesterday, I spoke at length about why they can't allow Trump in office. They cannot allow him back in office because of all of the criminality and all of the treasonous activity by O'Biden. That's right, O'Biden. The Red Chinese, the Communist Chinese, and O'Biden, the Communist Chinese, and people like Swalwell, Feinstein, and yes, I get that. I'm going back historically. Pelosi, Paul Pelosi, as well, many, many others. I would suspect 90% of the 535 are in bed with the Communist Chinese. We've got Communist Chinese coming into this country. It's just
Paul Pelosi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also known as PP.
PP. Hammer time, brother. Gonna have to, anyway, you're gonna have to re-medicate him before tomorrow's show. But this is gonna be a historic election, I believe. All right, so. I want to play you this video, folks. I believe that there's two videos. Video two or cut two is, and folks, you've probably seen this, is Sage Steele admits Fox News completely scripted her interview with Dementia Joe. And this is right after the election. And video three is Caroline Leavitt, laying out what's at stake in the 2024 election. They kind of go hand in hand. The first one is, I don't know, just a minute and a half. The second one's 2 minutes long. But the first one I want to play, and then I'd like to get your take on this, because we've known for a long time that this is more of a Wilson administration, Edith Wilson running the country while Woodrow was, you know, incapacitated by a stroke. And you look at Dementia Joe, and you know he's not all there. So you know that other people are making decisions. But this goes back to really day one, I suppose, of this regime. So for context, I want to play this, but I want Randy Taylor, I want your human response to this. Now, that's different from Randy Taylor, the analyst, the investigative analyst. I want your human response to this. And folks, yours too. Go ahead and play cut two.
For a wonderful day in sports, opening day for America's national pastime.
This is about 2 months after he took office. That was an interesting experience in its own right because it was so structured. And I was told, you will say every word that we write out. You will not deviate from the script and go to the word. Like every single question was scripted, gone over dozens of times by many executives, editors and executives. Absolutely. I was on script and was told not to deviate. It was very much, this is what you will ask. This is how you will say it. No follow-ups. Next. I knew that this was a lot bigger than just the wonderful editors that I worked with. This went up to the fourth floor, as we said, that were all the bosses, the top executives, the decision makers are, the president of our company, the CEO, where they all worked. The big picture to me is that I think it's heartbreaking. I think it's really heartbreaking that the people who love Joe Biden and say they truly care about him have allowed it to get to this point. So I'm not even looking at this from a political angle or my beliefs in anything. This is the human side of it. And when someone is struggling, we allow them to continue to be in the spotlight and put them out there in the first place when they knew there were issues. Of course, they had to know. So it's a humanity thing with me where I don't care where anyone stands and what they vote in for or who they believe in. Do you really care about that person as a father, as a husband, as a everything?
You know, RT, real quick, I watched my father-in-law struggle with and pass away from dementia. And I remember for years, I'd bring him every Sunday morning, I'd bring him a cup of coffee and a muffin. And we'd sit there and we'd watch the various shows on Sunday morning. Various news shows, and there came to a point in time when we couldn't do it anymore. So I'm going to ask you, and by the way, every time I see Biden, I think of my father-in-law, and I can see the decline. Anyone with a brain can see the decline. As a human, do you have any empathy for Joe Biden?
I've always felt like it was like an ongoing case of elderly abuse. He's not functioning properly. I think what they're doing is wrong. I don't think they care. It's almost a bait and switch. They sold you one Joe Biden, but actually gave you the other Joe Biden. You know, that's one of the reasons probably he sat in his house when Trump was out, you know, facing hundreds of thousands of people, and you know, it's wrong. What they're doing is wrong. I think it'll come back. It'll come back and bite them, because if they should have already washed him out. Honestly, I'll be honest with you. The fact that he's alive today is to me very surprising, and I just, when you look around the Democrat Party, the sand parties, that's the best they had. So they were trying to sell the Joe Biden that was a vice president to Obama. But there was a savage, savage decline, and a very fast decline in his competence and all, from the time Obama left office and over the 4 years of Trump. And Biden, the new Biden, you know, the Biden of 2020. It was a big difference from 2016 to 2020. Huge.
That's
huge.
True. Yeah.
I mean, Biden was he never struck me as a real brainchild, even when he was the, you know, vice president to Obama. And I always got a kick out of trying to take more credit, you know, for things that happened during Obama's administration that really Obama did. And he tried to take credit for that. And then it's kind of quiet there for the first couple of years after the election. It was quiet. And that's why they wanted to sell. They really just wanted to sell the Joe Biden that was still alive and comprehensive, for the most part, under Obama. They were trying to say that's the Joe Biden, you know, that's the same Joe Biden today in 2020, you know, literally 3 or 4 years later. And his decline, his mental decline, I don't think that he was. We were making fun of him when he was running against Trump. We knew that if he won, it was going to have to be a thrown election. Because anybody that sat and listened to this guy, it has to know, they had to know early in his term that there was something mentally, it was mentally unfit to sit in the president's office. He still is. It's only going to get worse. He can't run again. I honestly, if he's alive election day, I'd be surprised.
And that was my next question to you.
And I hate to say, I don't ever try to predict somebody's death. Okay. And I just don't think he'll be around 2024. I just, 2024 election, I just don't think he'll be there. Even if he jumps on the ticket, months in advance, I just don't think he's going to be around election night.
Okay. And I agree with you on that. I cannot see him running against President Trump. Can you imagine the second part of this? Imagine the debate with President Trump, RT.
It would be so bad that even Trump would probably feel sorry for him.
Probably.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's that bad. It's embarrassing. What further than just, thinking of his domestic ruling, he has to represent us to the world. And they're looking looking at a guy that is, I'm sorry, for all intents and purposes, lost his marbles. They're gone. They're not in the bag anymore. They rolled down the street. They're gone. And I almost think that's why Obama went on this little tour here the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Because Biden can't be trusted to stay on script. You can tell when he's on script, he needs to stay on it. And you can tell when he wanders off script, too, because suddenly people appear like they're ready to catch him.
Well, he's having a hard time even reading the teleprompter.
Yeah. He can't get off stage by himself.
Right.
He can't walk up the airplane steps by himself. The man is fighting every day to stay alive, I think, physically.
Because I watched my wife and my sister-in-law take care of my father-in-law and how protective they were of him, I look at Joe Biden as a bitch. Okay, that's the nicest word. And if that offends anyone, too bad. I look at her as a power-hungry bitch who absolutely... wants that power so bad.
That would expose the husband to the embarrassment he's been exposed to.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. She's wrong. She's garbage. No wife, like your wife, I know your wife, she wouldn't do that. My wife would not do it.
Put us in the spotlight, right? I mean,
oh, yeah.
My gosh. Last thing.
Oh, yeah. That's the sad part. He doesn't even know that. I don't think he even knows that his marbles are lost. And he's like, three faces today. By about noon, he forgot what the hell he was doing. You know what I mean? Sounded really good at 8 o'clock this morning. But something, and I think that when you think of the president has to be absolutely competent. I mean, the guy has a nuclear suitcase with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We can't have where, he's got the nuclear suitcase and he just opens it and starts playing around. You know what? We don't need that. They need to take this guy, and I would have put him with Jimmy Carter, and I'd put him on a log cabin in Georgia somewhere, give him a bunch of peanuts, let him just drink beer and slobber down the front of him. To them and tell stories. Boy, they could tell some stories. And they'd forget what the stories were, but it'd be really amusing. I'd pay anything to have a camera in that cabin.
Man, brilliant idea. Maybe we can. Okay. but again, the humanity, the lack of humanity by these demons, I cannot.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. This is demonic what they're doing to him. So, all right. Now to come back to hard, practical reality.
You know who he reminds me of? Do you remember Ellen Corby on the Waltons? When they brought them all back.
I never watched the Waltons.
Well, they brought them all back for a reunion show long after the show. Okay. And Ellen Corby, she was probably in her 90s. They couldn't get her to sit down. They literally, she'd go wandering around the set while they were shooting the movie. She'd just get up and walk across water. And they'd take her and go, come on, Grandma. And put her back in her chair. And I was like, now that was overly abuse, in my opinion.
Right. I agree.
The last people that saw her had to think there was something wrong with her. And she was very embarrassed. I'm sure she was. I just.
Wow.
This guy, you talk about a puppet. There's your for real puppet, this guy.
Yes. Now, to me, okay, I feel bad because I've got, I'm a human being, and I've lived, watched people go through this, but this man, a serial liar, and definitely having sold his country out for personal enrichment with other family members, okay? So I got to balance that out. Now, for a slap of reality, okay, against the humanity aspect of things, this is what's at stake. The next two-minute video of Caroline Leavitt laying this out is what's at stake. And I could not have said this any better. And, again, RT, after this, you tell me what you think. And folks listening at home or watching at home, watch this. And in your mind, I'd like you to do that mental exercise of going through what she names and what she says, and consider 2024, the election. This is Cut 3.
I want to get your take on President Trump yesterday in Grand Rapids, Michigan, about what's at stake in the coming election. Here's to the President Trump.
Because if we don't win on November 5th, I think our country is going to cease to exist. It could be the last election we ever have. I actually mean that. We don't win. I think this could be the last election we ever have. That's where our country's going.
What do you think he meant by that, the last election to exist? What should we read into that? The media might take that a certain way. What is he saying specifically as it relates to physical elections, or is he talking about free and fair elections? What exactly should we read into that?
It's a sad statement, but a true one from President Trump. If Joe Biden is allowed another 4 years in this country, we've already seen the crazy efforts the Democrats and Biden's team have taken to seize power and control. They have completely weaponized our Justice Department against their political opposition. They have directed big social media companies in this country to not only censor their political opposition, but also millions of Americans who don't agree with their policies and their propaganda. Joe Biden has allowed a mass invasion of this country, more than 13 million illegal people that we know of. That is more than the total population of 47 American states. Can we imagine if we had four more years of Joe Biden's wide open border and his border bloodbath that is causing chaos and killing across this country in every single state? Can we imagine four more years of Joe Biden's weakness on the world stage that has led to war in Ukraine, that has led to Iranian-backed terrorists in the Middle East being richer and stronger than ever, putting airstrikes on our nation's military bases, launching brutal attacks on our friend and ally nation Israel. China is now promising to take Taiwan. Look at the unrest that we see in Haiti. Under Joe Biden, there's been evacuations of 11 United States embassies around the world. That's more than any other president has ever seen in history. There is chaos everywhere you look, and that's what President Trump meant. If we have four more years of Joe Biden, America as we know her and love her, a nation built on freedom, on faith, on family, those core values are being derailed because of Joe Biden's policies. And it's only happened in 3 short years. After another 4, it's sad but true to say that America as we know her and love her will no longer exist.
Hyperbole or not?
No, she's right. She's absolutely, this is such a word, such a critical ear. It keeps me awake at night because I don't know exactly what to do. I mean, I know what to do, but I don't know how to go about getting it initiated. That's not something I would share in the air.
Yeah.
The people that are familiar with me over the years, familiar with Doug, you get an idea of what I'm talking about. But I'm going to tell you right now, Trump is right. If he doesn't get in, I'm convinced there will be no more elections. And you know what? when he gets in, there's a lot of work to do. And he's going to have to put people on the job on a lot of things. I don't know if
let me stop you right there.
Okay.
Well, what makes you think a second Trump presidency would be any different from the first, when he was getting just everyone around him was being cagey, stabbing him in the back, refusing to carry out orders, or he wouldn't know about it, of course, because his cabinet members would keep information from him. What makes you think it's going to be any different this time?
I think he learned his lesson. And I mentioned it before. He needs to hire guys like you and me to keep them straight, keep staff straight, keep everybody straight. You know what I mean? Because if I give you my word, my loyalty is to you. I'm loyal to you till we're dead, till I'm dead.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. And that's the way I would operate. And they can sit there. I'm ashamed of his attorneys. I'm ashamed of his staff. Everybody thinks that they want to jump on the bandwagon and write a book and do this, do that, and profit off this man's misfortunes. What I see is a man that's having misfortunes that most people would have said, screw it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Duck their heads and made a deal that I'm not going to run for president. This man loves his country, and he loves us, the Patriots. We have got to have Trump in the White House on this election. It's that simple. Now, as far as getting things done in the country after he's elected, he's going to have to be a speed demon doing it. That's why he's going to need seriously more help than what he had last time. He's going to have to have people that he knows. He's going to have to research them and look into them and see where they always stood on him. Because, well, you know, like, for instance, we've always been behind the man. And it's imperative that we get him. I can't say that enough times. It's imperative. But what the other team's going to do, I think they're going to kind of just keep batting this Biden thing around until it gets to the last minute. And they may put Biden in, they could put him out of his misery. And all of a sudden, we're going to be looking at like somebody like Michelle Obama. They're doing something with Michelle Obama. Okay? She's out of sight. We're seeing her on on yachts of movie stars and things like that. Yeah, we have photographs of it.
That's true.
So you've got to wonder what is going on. You can tell they're kind of cleaning up their mess when they got whacked outside of, just outside of their house.
You're talking about the chef?
Yes.
Yeah.
A chef would hear so many conversations.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I theorize. I don't know about seeing it. I'll go more on he heard something come out of their mouths when they thought he wasn't around.
Yeah.
He may have recorded them. You don't know. It just was highly suspicious. It reminded me of when William Casey drowned.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? It's just boom. And I was like, I don't buy this. Well, then what the hell is a man doing out there in a kayak at his age?
I think he left his supper on the table. It was nothing made sense with that.
Yeah. Right now, Obama's running the show. I don't care what anybody says.
I agree.
Okay. That's why he was on trips here recently around the world, is because they can't send Biden anymore. Biden is nothing but a place marker now. I kid you not. They might as well just have one of those pictures of the president there, so you can stand next to him and get your picture taken. Because he's nothing. He's a lame duck. This is a drowning duck. You know, I mean, he's just gone. He's somebody, they're going to throw some crap at us. I don't know, but listen, no matter what they do, we have got to be on every one of the people. You've got to be out there at the polling stations or the election stations. Got to be there with instructions on what to do. Because that if the election is held and it's actually done correctly, Trump will win the election. That's plain and simple. You got some mouthy Democrats, but honestly, I'm not hearing what I expected here. I've expected far more resistance to Trump. You know what I'm saying? The pace hasn't really kicked up, in my opinion. Outside of the court cases, I'm talking about every talking head, every comedian, anybody that gets in front of a camera. I'm just not hearing it like I expected.
Well, they're afraid.
They're definitely afraid. And what's really cool is there should be lots of room for housing and stuff when all of these Hollywood people pull out of the U.S. and leave because Trump was president. I mean, I just sit there and then here's another one. And you could probably just make it up and not even be true. And I'd believe it because there's so many are like, oh, we're leaving, we're going, you know.
But where are they going to go?
To Canada.
I could care less. But
that's the movie you want to make. Go to Canada.
Yeah, go to Canada.
Where we just got slapped here on the first April 1st with an additional carbon tax. Yeah. It's robbery. It is robbery, folks. It is not. This is going to put people in food lines.
No. For context, for people who don't know, you've got family up in Canada. Yeah, you visit them occasionally. Now, having said that, it was my understanding that they're in an uproar over something that happened on Monday. A new tax? Because this is important because it's coming to the U.S.
Yes, this is very important. And folks, we always tell you the trial ground is Canada. And then whatever happens in Canada automatically comes down here. Okay, just remember that. Please remind me. And look into Canadian news when you can. All right? Punch in Canada in Google. Put in Canada Google, if you're going to use Google. All right? Or any search engine you use. But specifically name Canada so you can open up in a new window, then do searches of stuff in Canada. Okay? You got to be smart about how you use these search engines. And that little Cuban-looking guy that's the Prime Minister of Canada, he, sometime here during his last deal, and I don't remember the date exactly, but he started the carbon tax, okay? So you've got your regular sales tax, you got your taxes on your income, taxes here, taxes there, taxes everywhere, all right? And what he's done is they had a carbon tax, and then you have your thing, what they call the HST, which varies from province to province. That's more of your local sales tax. It'd be like if you had a county tax down here and then a city tax would like have a discretional amount on it, where the county tax typically is whatever the state tax is. All right. In Canada, that sales tax, when you buy anything except groceries, when you buy anything, it's 13% of the sale. Okay. So you got... And everything in Canada is overpriced. I'm telling you, you want a Big Mac, it's like $9. It's crazy. Okay. So you have already overpriced item. Now you hit it with HST. Then that whole sale, all right, you were getting hit with a carbon tax.
And that's brand new.
Well, actually, no, there was already one in place.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It was showing up in your dinner receipts and all. Now you have a tax on the entire sale, and it's like between, you know what? I pulled up a sign here. Take me 1 second.
All right. And folks, when you hear this, I mean, you're going to
This is gonna flip you out. Remember, we're already overpriced up here on everything from food, transportation, to heating bills at grocery stores. The carbon tax certainly plays a role in food prices. Okay. It says, however, the tax at the farm level tends to stay on the farm. It's a bunch of crap. Okay. We're getting the carbon taxes on top of everything. If you had, I told you what, on fuel they're doing this. This is the other thing. They calculated on what they call as tons, T-O-N-N-E-S. Okay. They couldn't spell that right. Oh, that's French, I'm sure. But it was like $65 per ton of carbon. Now it's $80 per ton. Well, one, they haven't explained the tonnage properly to anybody. Okay, which you know it's all bullshit anyway. Now they're going to charge you even more on it, but they don't really explain what it's doing. And it's even better yet, they give these things back called rebates, So you've got the poor, you've got the middle class, and you've got the wealthy. The wealthy and the middle class pay most of the bills for this country. Okay? Canada, we're talking about, right? So they pay most of the bill. But the people that are getting the rebates are at the bottom part of the totem pole. The poor, who really didn't put anything anyway because, you know, they're on welfare. They don't drive because they don't have a car. They're on the bus. You know what I'm saying? They don't even keep up with the middle class. But he gets up here and he goes on about all this money, he's lifting people out of poverty. You got to watch this clown sometime on the whatever the government channel is. Okay, we tape it when we're not there. We go on tapes of it. We'll keep 6 months' worth of it. But it's nothing but smoke and mirrors. And he is literally stealing money. I call his carbon thing, his whole deal where he says he gives money back. He says that every time. It's really defensive. It comes back to you in the form of rebate. Anything you put in comes back in the form of rebate. That is not true. It does not come back. It comes back in a small little piece, and it doesn't show up at my door. It goes somewhere else. And if it does come to our door, I'll tell you right now, and you get a check for $225 from the government, okay? Once or twice a year. Is you going to tell me that's all that was paid in by me when I was there?
So it's income redistribution from the upper middle class to the poor.
Yes, sir. It is absolutely income redistribution. Okay. Wealth. Well, it is. And the thing is, he's trying to legitimize it. And this is where we're having some problems now, and I'm glad they are. Some of the premiers, a premier runs a province, okay, runs a whole big province. And all those provinces, all 13 or 14 of them, they report to the federal government.
Right.
And what they're doing now, some of these guys, these premiers, are backlashing Trudeau and saying, you know, you're not charging a tax here. He threatened one of the guys and said, I will put you in jail.
Castro said that.
Yeah, that would be like Biden saying that he's going to put any one of the governors in the U.S. in jail.
I was just going to say that. Okay.
It's about what the equivalent is.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So this is a good segue because, so we spoke about Biden. And the humanity section of that aside, the practical section of that right now. So, okay, what's going on in Canada with the carbon tax is the redistribution of wealth, which is a pillar of socialism/communism.
Yep.
Okay, now, take that, what you just said, and apply it here. Folks, this is cut four. This is what's taking place in Michigan right now. And you've got Gretchen Whitmer, okay, that communist person.
Yeah.
Okay. And folks, listen to this. This is about a minute long. And listen to what's happening right now in Michigan that you, the listener, you, the viewer, if you're watching this or listening to this in Michigan, are not getting and will never get. Watch this. Cut four.
All right, so the state of Michigan will give you $6,000 completely free if you meet one condition. You just have to be an illegal immigrant. That the Office of Global Michigan, which, yeah, I didn't even know that was a thing till now, they've started a newcomer rental subsidy where the state of Michigan will pay either $500 a month or $6,000 over 12 months to pay the rent for illegal immigrants and people who broke the law coming into this country, people that we have no idea what their background is, if they are criminals. We're giving them our taxpayer money to pay for their bills, while all of the rest of us in Michigan, the actual citizens, people paying taxes, working, doing everything right, we just get a big middle finger from the state of Michigan. They're telling us that, yep, you don't matter. We're going to take your money and give it to people who have broken the law, and you guys can just work and suffer like peasants, because American citizens, well, we're second class to the new illegal population. If you don't want to get used to this, guys, then you should probably stop voting for it.
Although it's a little bit different, carbon tax versus this newcomer subsidy, which
Right.
The concept is the same, pretty much.
I look at the carbon tax and what they're doing in Canada. To me, that is financial rape.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. The financial part, the part where they're breaking it off in your ass, where they're screwing you, that's the minimal sexual aspect of a rape, if there's a rape. It's not all about sex, right? What he does by doing...
But yes.
Thank you. Thank you. And that's what the tax is about. Power. I'll show you, you little son of a gun. You know what I mean? He's a little snot-nosed kid that's... They need to go in and arrest him and put him in jail. I mean, he didn't even want to be in Canada when April 1st. He took off the day before. He split. This is the guy that's barking about carbon taxes and riding around all over the world in his jet. This is the guy that got that illegal vacation when he went out and visited the Aga Khan.
Ah, yes.
Okay. Yeah, $260,000 worth of vacation. And here's the best part. Anytime something happens anymore, he goes, well, he'll get up in Parliament and go, well, it's been sent to the Ethics Commission. Really? Gee, I wonder who appointed the Ethics Commissioner.
It almost sounds like Biden, with respect to 47% of his time, he's taking more time off than any other president in the United or in history. Yep. 47% on vacation.
Yep. We got a real problem, folks.
Same thing.
We got a real problem. That's another reason I hope Trump gets in. Okay, because Trump will be busy cleaning up America, and just the fact that he's down here will change a lot of this government crap in Canada, because Trump's not going to live next door to a communist country. He ain't going to have it.
And he's also going to, I truly believe this, Mexico is going to get, he's going to put the hurt on Mexico.
I hope he does.
You know, based on Todd Benzman, his book, the title escapes me, but when he was with the government and also with as an independent journalist, he saw firsthand the impact of what President Trump's policies did to Mexico. Mm-hmm. And I can, so what you're saying, and I believe this to be the case, President Trump would certainly set straight both Mexico and Canada. And by the way, Canada, we just got the numbers. I think the entirety of people coming across the Canadian border illegally in quarter one of fiscal year 20, whatever this fiscal year is, equals the same for the past decade plus, or since they began keeping records, coming across the northern border. So we have a northern border problem now too. Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And the southern border, you know what? And I'll stand by what we said on this. I honestly think these people that are coming in and being housed in buildings, it looks like military barracks, things like that. I think that we're going to have to worry about those people. I think there's a real problem sitting there. Because as someone made a mention, another thing, there's a trucker process was down here, started a few days back. And it's the same kind of people that were there last time we had it, 3 or 4 years ago. And Canada, if they put a video up on Facebook, it's taken down immediately. I'm serious. They went to the police and tried to have a liaison officer, and the RCMP flat out lied to the protesters that he was going to be their liaison. Now you can't find the guy. And they're going and standing, like out in Alberta yesterday, I believe it was. They're standing on the street, the protesters. They're up off the highway, okay? And these Canadian cops are standing down in the ditch, down the whole length of what the protesters are. The Canadian cops, I was watching this on, I got a private film that we got it on, and which was eventually taken down, I'm sure. But you look at the cops, the Canadians, the protesters are talking to them, trying to guilt trip them. Usually a cop, when you stand there long enough, will respond.
Usually.
When they respond, the thing is, they don't sound, in my opinion, very Canadian.
What do they sound like?
European.
Okay, so, and I think that's the plans for the U.S. as well.
Yes, and this is the thing. We should actually map it everywhere in the United States where there's one of these camps, where we can verify it, that this camp exists, okay? And we need to get Americans on standby. On standby. Ready to roll on a moment's notice, okay? When these guys suddenly are uniformed and coming out and taking out Americans, it's going to have to be responded to. It's not a joke. They brought in enough people.
Whose orders would that?
I'm talking about us.
No, but that means.
The UN would give that kind of order and tell Biden to abide by it, or Obama. You know,
man, it's true.
Obama, he's already sold us out.
You know,
he cannot be trusted at all. I just wish there was someone that would put handcuffs on the guy.
Again, we're left with a situation where we've got no recourse. And that's, you know,
that's what's going to lead to trouble.
When we are left without recourse, legal recourse, what does it mean? Again, it goes back to what I said initially. Hey, we have to accept the things we cannot change. The obvious things, but then change things we cannot accept. And I'm talking about the lawlessness that's taking place.
Yep. Because the crap we're putting up with our forefathers would be ashamed of us.
Oh, absolutely.
But everybody is in that comfy lifestyle, you know, they're doing this, they're doing that, they get a couple of days off, they get to go camping. And nobody's really realizing that in 3, 4, 5 years, that's not happening. I gave you guys a commercial of a 15-minute city, the 15-minute city commercial. This is an actual commercial they have to explain the beauty and the wondrous things of a 15-minute city. Because that's what's planned. They're planning on putting everyone in.
Okay, and that's okay. That speaks to the larger Klaus Schwab WEF agenda, control oligarchs. I get that, but I think the pushback on that has been so great. I think they're I don't want to say walking it back, but I think they're busy right now trying to maintain power. On the other hand, what you're saying about the 15-minute cities, I do want to show you this. Does this relate to 15-minute cities? Not really, but it does relate to that whole mindset, that whole psyche of this globalist mentality. And yeah. Okay, so this impacts.
It's all about control.
It is
absolutely.
But when I saw this, I thought, man, I wonder how many people know about this and have seen this. This is cut 7, and this is the Biden State Department or the Obama. You're exactly correct. Again, Obama being the foot soldier at that level, people obviously above him calling the shots, but Obama doing a good job himself. But the Biden State Department appoints Zakiah Carr Johnson as top DEI officer. So we have the State Department. And by the way, the State Department is kind of like the overt section of the CIA. But, I mean, it hurts your head to think about the diversity, equity, inclusion concept. That's a globalist concept that's overtaken Canada. It's coming, it's the U.S., other places. But I want your take on this as well, in the context of everything you've kind of just said, as a kind of pulling the lens out and seeing where everything is going. This is the Biden State Department right now announcing the appointment of this DEI officer. Go ahead and cut 7. It's about 2 minutes.
We live and work within systems, and those systems, as I mentioned before, are
so deeply rooted in patriarchy, in colonialism, in racism, in otherism, we tend to be very resistant to shifts and changes. It's very uncomfortable for many colleagues often when you are the voice in the room that says, this doesn't sound right to me, or I have a question about how this is supposed to work. I want Black women's voices to be heard at the micro level and at the macro level. Often there are just so very few Black women in the room, even when you're talking about a continent full of Black women. The leadership and development circles tends to not be Black women, and it's not because Black women, women of color, are not interested in improving the quality of life or creating opportunities for their communities or for the societies they live in, but it's because we have so many criteria set up to say who is truly a person worthy of being listened to, respected, and knowledgeable on issues. Navigating that space and navigating those gaps is where I find the greatest amount of challenge. I think that there's a culture of, you know, the culture of misogyny has allowed men to act without consequence, and it becomes part of what we believe is normal, right? And that in order to make any change, we've literally got to be about the work of dismantling that traditional structure at every juncture. But how do you do that and appear to be a get-along person or a good team worker? And, you know, for some reason, there's also this very negative stereotype of feminists as being angry people who just don't smile and don't know how to have a good time. And I think, unfortunately, guess what? We have great time.
What the F did I just hear? Okay.
A load of shit. I'm trying to do better with the language there.
So basically everything we've spoken about, this globalist agenda has really infiltrated the leftist cabal of communists. Mm-hmm. And it's being pushed down our throat. Whether it is the carbon tax in Canada that I'm sure right. will be coming here.
Yes, sir.
Whether it's you heard Caroline Leavitt laying out all of the things that Biden, all the things that are at stake in the election in 2024, but what happened under Biden. So I guess I played that because it's not going away. CRT, nope. DEI, all of these acronyms of the globalist communists, it's not going away.
And the thing is, they're trying to paint a very pretty picture of it. And people fall for that. You know why? Because they're used to people saying something on their television, and, oh, that's gospel. The people they're probably so dumbed down, it's not even funny. And as I said, Eric, it's like maybe a minute and a half, but I sent that video to Eric on the way they try and present these 15-minute cities as being just glorious.
Oh, okay.
These guys, you know, and I was like, yeah, for dealing with people that aren't paying attention, that's probably a great video. They do a good job with it. But the thing is, they've invested so much money on imprisoning us and making it to where we like it. And I'm like, what people, I don't see what people don't understand about being imprisoned in an open air city, you know, well, okay. A prison.
Why don't we play that? Because
yeah, it's just short, very short, but this is what we're looking at.
Okay.
This is how they're coming off to the left, and the left's like, oh, it's great. We're saying we don't have carbon. You know, what the hell is wrong with you?
I saw a video clip of Gates and they're talking about carbon offsets, and the interviewer said, well, you plant trees, and Gates said, it's BS, okay, it wouldn't help. And I'm thinking, carbon, people don't even understand carbon is 0.035% of the atmosphere. It's necessary for life. and they're trying to get it down to net zero, which means they want to kill us all, essentially.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. And they're killing, the people are buying into it.
Exactly. So how are they selling it? They're selling it like this, like what you sent, right?
Yeah. Okay. Get a kick out of this.
All right. Watch this, folks.
15-minute city. Paris is working towards it, so is Barcelona and Portland, and now Vancouver also has a plan in place.
This is tomorrow morning, and you are brushing your teeth. And at the same time, the city is cleaning itself. Tomorrow, your city will be in your smartphone. You can check the city status, traffic, and air pollution. In the same breath, you will find booking your smart vehicle as easy as ordering food. You'll drink your last sip of coffee, and your smart vehicle will already be waiting for you. Tomorrow, your day will get off to a more enjoyable start. As you drive through town, you can check your personal footprint or actively participate in city issues. There is no rush hour in the morning, no waiting, and no traffic jam. Everything is completely connected and communicates with everything else. Tomorrow, your city will have mobility hubs at every corner. Later tomorrow, you are working on your next great idea, while your smart city administration can optimize the city with smart workflows and processes. Everything is in flow. The smart city empties the rubbish bins by itself. It knows where many vehicles are needed and where not. Tomorrow, the air in cities will be clean and parking spaces will become parks. The entire infrastructure is managed decentrally. Tomorrow, the cities will be safer and more worth living in.
What if we could create a new normal where we reclaim our time, our health and well-being, and our communities?
This is the idea behind the 15-Minute City, a growing movement to make our lives in cities more convenient, less stressful, and more sustainable. A 15-Minute City is one where everything we need is close to home, where communities are safe and inclusive.
Hello, everyone. Meet Lucy, student in psychology. And me, her digital ID wallet.
But you see, you gotta admit, people are going to swallow that hook, line, and sinker. I kid you not. I've been in sales a good part of my life, and I'll tell you right now, that was pretty smooth.
It'll clean itself.
Yes.
It'll clean up all the illegal and homeless.
Yeah, exactly.
Dung on the side of the road.
Well, okay. How do you balance that? Okay, so you've got this invasion of criminals coming into this country. By the way, Latin America has never been safer because all the criminals are up here.
They're up here.
So how do you balance that? There's got to be a definite...
Your social credit score has got to be high enough to be within inside the walls of the city.
Oh, I don't know. I think everybody's got... People got to understand this is no laughing matter. We're not crazy. We're not conspiracy theorists. We're trying to tell you that came from an official channel somewhere. Okay.
That's frightening.
That's what you have to realize. This is already in motion. They've been sneaking this up on us for decades. When George, the old man Bush, would talk about 1,000 points of light.
1,000 points of light. Yeah, 9/11/90. Yeah.
Thank you. That, oh, man. We were New World Order out of Nixon's mouth. At one point.
Yeah, Kissinger, who was the mentor of Klaus Schwab.
Yeah. Kissinger, the man who wouldn't die. Yeah. It's like he wouldn't go away. And I swear to God, the last 50 years of his life, he looked exactly the same. That's probably I'm not even going to say that. I don't mean to say about a guy that's dead, but.
Well.
These people, the villains that are around us, it's no joke. You know, I've been watching a lot of videos on sex trafficking and all. The elite in our country are human garbage.
Boy, I can tell you that is a charitable characterization.
It makes me sick, Doug.
Yeah, it's charitable because Yeah, with what I've found, the currency of the globalists is the blood of the children. And I can't say any clearer than that.
Yes.
And you've got, yeah, you've... And speaking of that, okay, we cannot forget what they did to us and what happened with respect to the bioweapon. And people are thinking, well, okay, things are calming down with respect to that. But this, I saw this, and I want to, before the end of the show, I want to toss this to you and get your take on this. And folks, if you haven't heard about this, listen very carefully to what this man says. This is a rancher talking about mRNA vaccines, in quotation marks, being injected into American livestock. It's a minute 20. Listen to everything he's saying. Listen to the stats. And then think about, first of all, who in the hell's doing this? Who's authorizing it? Who are they he references? Under whose authorization? And if you're a rancher, are you going to allow this? This is cut 8. Here it is.
Let's dig into this statistics sheet about mRNA vaccines in live animals and why this is a concern, not only as a consumer, but as a producer as well. They took 525 hogs, injected them with the live mRNA vaccine, and in 21 days, these were the statistics. 25 of them suffered from death, 55 of them became so anorexic that they were near death, 20 of them suffered from lameness, 12 of them suffered from loss of condition, and 25 more of them had near-death symptoms. So we have 70% of these animals that are going to be okay to an extent, and then we have 30% of them that either have died or have near-death symptoms. They did autopsies on the ones that had passed away, and they still found remnants of the live virus vaccine inside the meat of these animals. So from a consumer standpoint, we have to worry about a live virus being inside of our meat that we're putting inside of our bodies. And as a producer standpoint, we have to worry about the health of our animals that can ultimately destroy us, destroy our herd, and destroy our business altogether. I'm interested to see what y'all think about this, so make sure you leave a comment, share it around. Let's get this information out there and make people aware. And as always, guys, buy American and buy local.
Buy local. And, yeah, that's one of the things that we have to change that I cannot accept. I've got to change because I can't accept that. Your thoughts on this? Because, again, it's all wrapped together.
Yeah, well, everything's intertwined. We've said that for years. I absolutely agree with them. Support your local small grocer. Okay, forget the big guys. All right, they'll poison you in a second if it makes more money. If they're ordered by the government to do so, the small little guy. You know, I buy meat from a local shop where it's produced by a producer. It's cut up right there. I know the people that buy the meat. I know who they're buying it from. I'm good with it. Okay, now. The other thing you have to, the good advice is don't buy anything with a label, you know, a barcode on it. Don't buy anything with a barcode. That's a simple, if somebody asked me, well, how do you know? And how do you, well, come here, you don't want to be at the grocery store for 4 hours. No, just one, you shouldn't be at the grocery store. But second, buy local. There's tons of little stands. And you'll find out there's almost like an underground community.
A parallel economy as well, yes.
Yes,
yeah.
That are producing this stuff. You might have to drive a couple miles out of your way, but it's worth it. It's worth it. There's nothing like fresh produce. I mean fresh. Nothing like it. You know, some supposed to have a little snap to it. You know, I like that, not where it should snap and instead it bends. We don't want that. You know, that's a big thing. And when they talk about no antibiotics and things like that, listen, Paul. Okay, pay attention, because they've been poisoning us for years. I firmly believe that the majority of the health problems that I've had all through my, since about 35, not just from diabetes, but I say, how did I end up being a diabetic? And I honestly believe that it's been preservatives and the stuff they put in food all my life going up to 35, age 35. I read the back. If you don't believe me, next time you go to get a can of corn or a frozen bag of corn, flip that puppy over and read it. read it and let it scare you. It should scare you.
You know,
dire time, ladies and gentlemen, dire times are coming.
I think they're here.
Yeah, they're here. They're going to spring it on us really hard. So I'm going to tell you something else. This eclipse, be cool about this, because I just got this gnawing feeling.
You know, let's spend the remainder. Let's talk about this, because it's going to come right over my head. I can guarantee you that.
I mean, I'll be affected by it too directly.
Okay, so they're in our area. Okay, I'll just say this. There's something wrong with how they're handling this. What? NASA's firing three rockets during the eclipse. the Devil's Comet will be visible, reportedly. Some other things going on. But how they're handling, the response to this doesn't feel right. It just doesn't feel right.
I would suggest this. Go online, get a hurricane readiness chart. They just do what it says on that. Okay, you're going to want to make sure you got cash, small bills, because when things go dark, you don't know that the lights are coming back on. Our electrical grid has been a target of not just our enemies, but the people who are supposed to be taking care of us. They know that they have control over everyone through electrical grids.
Attention. You referenced too the possibility, as they spoke about a coronal mass ejection during this time that could hit our grid and take our grid down.
I'm looking for a climate lockdown. I'm waiting on a climate lockdown. I think that's next. That's seriously, and it might be after the comet, you know, after this eclipse. I don't know, but I don't trust anybody that's in charge. I could trust them years ago. But this is a major event, and they're making it an even more major event. You know, I don't listen to me. Make sure you got cash, food, and water. Okay? If you have firearms, make sure you have ammo. If you don't have a firearm, consider buying one. I don't know if you're within your 5 days or not. But folks, treat this like it's a hurricane coming through. Because when it goes dark in the middle of the day, you know every banana cake out there is going to do something stupid. I'm serious. There'll be robberies and everything just during those 2 to 4 minutes. I'm just warning you. We're so full of foreigners that don't live the way that we used to live. You know, I come from a society and from a childhood and an adulthood of value to human life. The people that are being shoved in this country and just walked right on in, there is no value on human life in their countries that they're coming from.
How true is that? And you can see that on social media.
Yes. You need to remember that. That's serious.
Okay.
A fist fight can turn into a few words can turn into a murder in in seconds.
And we're seeing that everywhere. And President Trump pointed that out, or something similar. When you look at all the killings by the criminals invading the country, and then the name, I mean, it's just not Lincoln Riley, it's so many others, but then you already have the criminal element in this country. But going back to the eclipse, 53-second video by Harrison Smith, he did a 53-second video. We could play numerous videos that go into detail, but I think this 53 seconds is worth it to what you said about this. I'm going to show you and the video audience this 53-second clip about something different about this to what you were saying earlier. Go ahead and hit cut, whatever it is.
Something weird about this solar eclipse. It's being treated differently than I remember any solar eclipse ever being treated in my lifetime. NASA apparently will fire three rockets at the solar eclipse. Okay. The Devil Comet will become visible during the solar eclipse in April. CERN to test the world's most powerful particle accelerator during April's solar eclipse to search for invisible matter that secretly powers our universe. All of these things have led people like redheaded libertarian to say, it almost sounds like the world leaders are trying to summon the Antichrist. Yeah, almost. I mean, they are also definitely doing that. They actually built a giant altar to sacrifice a red heifer in Israel. It's specific specifically to summon the Antichrist. Just a lot of weird things.
And there you go. Just a few things, like you were talking about.
Yeah, Marvel's in the sky. You know, you said, remember, somewhere out there, there's, I believe there's a comet named Wormwood that we might expect here someday. There's, think about it, because they wouldn't tell us that something's going to hit the Earth that's going to ruin all the drinking water, and when it hits, it'll be like a, you know, a million nuclear bombs going off. They're not going to tell us that. They're going to make sure they're safe.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm telling you, I don't believe them. And you say, well, it's an eclipse. So I just know that because the scientists are saying so.
Well,
you know,
interesting. I don't think that would be a question. I think we can see it. But why are they acting so screwy?
Yeah, this is very awkward behavior. I've been through a few eclipses in my life. Yeah. I remember making the little box when I was a kid. And that was a major one. You know, it was major in the state I was in. And they're acting really strange about this. This is getting way more hoopla than I expected that it would. You know, maybe that's going to be the Great Reset. Who knows? Maybe the banking system's going to collapse. Who knows? Maybe it's going to take out some electrical grids. You know, something will happen. I don't know. Whatever it is, it's going to be lies about how it happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, I was going to get into the squatter stuff, but folks, you get the idea. We're on our own, and this goes for the entirety of everything we've talked about today. We are on our own, and I think to kind of end in the manner that we started, you know, we've got this year, everything between now and Election Day and beyond, is perhaps one of the most important time periods in American history. And we better be ready, like you said.
Absolutely.
We better be ready because, man, it's coming. It's coming quick. Things are happening. Any closing thoughts? We only have a couple of minutes left. Any closing thoughts here that you would...
Buy some Hagman coffee.
Yeah,
This is the real deal here. We've got K-Cups.
By the way, everyone's selling coffee now. My gosh, I can't watch this.
You started a trend, sir. And you know what? These K-Cups are great because Doug, when he had them designed, he did not say put fancy labels on.
Wait a second. What'd you say? You're holding up the wrong coffee. What are you, cheating on me, man?
That's what you sent me, bro. That's exactly what you sent me. It's right out of the box. All right.
Okay. There it is. The K cups. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That was like, but I was pointing out that you didn't spend much of money on useless print. It's going in the garbage.
Right. Right.
You know, this, if you ask me, the bag alone looks cool. All right. This is awesome coffee. That's no joke.
You're cheating on me. That's not our coffee, brother.
What is it?
I don't know. You tell me.
Oh, man.
I caught you.
You certainly did. This was from Christmas. Well, this was from Christmas.
That's right. Well,
I don't have anywhere else to advertise coffee, but listen, we got coffee. Yeah. That's funny. I'll tell my wife, get it away from the K-Cup machine.
One bag. I got to tell you, one bag doesn't last that long, right? Especially in your house and certainly not in mine.
Okay, how about if we do this?
There we go.
Hagman coffee. Three different blends. They're awesome. I go with the mild blend. You tough people and people like Doug, you do with the go with the detective choice blend. You'll love it. The cool part is when you open these and you smell that bag. You open it and I just put nothing smells like it. It is awesome. Okay? We can't sell it in Canada. It's a lot of money to ship it from Pennsylvania up into Canada, so we haven't quite hit that market yet. But ladies and gentlemen, all over the continental United States, okay, the prices are great, and a good portion of this goes to helping the children. Okay, there's children out there being kidnapped, abused, sexually assaulted, and murdered every day in this country. It's unbelievable. You know, we're talking on a typical year in the United States, somewhere between 500,000 and 1 million kids.
And where are
Stop
they?
Stop and thank you. Where are they?
And we're not talking about just American kids, but kids of the world, basically. So, yeah.
Yeah, but let's start cleaning up right here.
Amen, brother. All right. Well, thanks for joining me today. And you know, again, there was a lot of stuff. It was kind of a cerebral program today, which I'm glad it was. I want to thank you for joining me, my friend.
Absolutely. Sorry about the coughing, man.
Yeah, well, that's all right. Hey, no worries, man. No worries. It happens. All right, folks.